Do you have a technique for subtly glancing at someone? Well, if you do, then you're in good company. Today, we'll be taking a closer look at the nuances of everyday interactions that make up the monotony of life. Let's enjoy that feeling of smugness when you're one of the last people to board a plane. Grab your knitting needles and a blanket because it's time for three old friends to sit around and sew a new patch into their quilt of friendship. So join me, Dion, under the covers with Christian.
Welcome to Patchwork.
And Josh.
Welcome to Patchwork.
Well, that was nice.
We are out of practice, aren't we?
We're all looking at Christian because, like, well, it's definitely not me first.
Guys, I'm different now.
Oh, okay, right.
I don't start the show, I end it.
Welcome back to Australia, Christian.
Thanks.
It's been a long time. Welcome back to Australia, Josh.
Thank it was not quite as long.
Thank.
Time.
Thank.
Wow.
So while I've been gone, you haven't spoken English.
Is that a word maybe from the country that you'd been to?
Just try to cull my vocabulary.
Oh, yeah.
And really drop those letters off.
And we have to. And that's why this episode will go for 12 minutes.
This episode's going to be good.
We've all been away for a really long time.
Mm.
But for the people, which is probably most people, who don't listen consecutively and wait for new episodes.
Oh, come on.
For them, they may have listened to the last episode a minute ago.
Yeah.
But for that listener, we have been gone for what?
Six, 7 months. Eight months, something like that.
I've been away. I'm a new person now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on a massive trip. What did you hit up, Christian?
Oh, I've seen a lot of stuff. Yeah.
What are you seeing?
A few different things.
Some people don't like talking about their jobs or what they
boring. Do. I think it's boring to have what is known as a boring conversation on a podcast.
No, okay. That's crazy. Because
no,
we know that the
about.
Stuff that you'll say about your holiday will be interested in.
For
unless
you,
it's boring.
But you'd be interested in it.
Yeah.
No, but I think there's a baseline level that is interesting to just get a visual image of what Christian was doing. Because if you said, oh, I went to Scandinavia for 7 months,
yep.
That's really different
yep.
from being like, oh, I went to Southeast Asia for 6 months.
All right, tell me. All right, let's do this, okay? Levels. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to start
we
really general. I'm going to start really general and then get, and you tell me when it becomes boring, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So I did 6.5 months across the United States and South America.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's enough.
But boring now.
Oh,
no.
That's good.
No, I'm bored.
Hang on.
No, you go. Go.
You tell
going.
Me when it starts getting boring.
Keep going. Okay. We will.
In South America, I saw Machu Picchu.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
To be expected.
And was in Patagonia.
Gorgeous.
Some of the highlights.
Great store.
Yeah. Are you bored yet?
No.
Really?
No.
That's about it for me. But fine, ready? I went to Peru. Colombia,
but no. I think you don't know how to talk about a holiday.
You're just talking about
the place. I know, but you're just talking about the places you went to. What about the feelings you had on that trip?
Ooh.
Or what about great experiences? Was there a stupid thing that you did on the trip?
Sure, yes, Dion, I did a stupid thing.
Great.
No, I went to a Christian theme park in Buenos Aires.
That so looked incredible, by the way.
The religion,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, the religion. Okay. There was a very weird.
You got free entry, didn't you?
What a coincidence.
Yes. it was a very, very cheap, poorly made Christian theme park that had a resurrection at 3 p.m. where a giant Jesus would encroach on the sky.
It honestly looked like something out of The Simpsons.
It was
like,
because it was
amazing.
Fully mechanized,
yeah.
But really poorly made. So you'd hear the hydraulics at work.
Oh, that's so
they'd have
good.
Really sharp finishes where the item would bounce back and forth.
About Jesus, you could always hear his hydraulics.
The holy hydraulics.
Yeah. You said it was at 3 p.m. Was it on the hour? Every hour?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, that's nice. That's convenient.
Yep. Not every 3 days.
But then they had Arabian dances. There was like a... But the funny thing is, we were at this place and surrounded by the elderly and we're like, oh, this is one of the spots that if you are on a cruise an elderly person traveling, you'd go to the Christian theme park.
Or if you wanted to know what the time was, you could just do it on the hour, you'd know. Christian, speaking of those silly things, it makes me think that when I was in Taiwan for a couple of weeks and
When
I'm traveling, I'll always like just, I'm happy to go 2 hours to something really stupid. I'm happy to travel a long time. I went to a cafe that had capybaras that you could pat.
Thank God.
And they're large rodents, aren't they? They're huge. But my favorite thing was paying for 20 minutes to pat a capybara. And there was just a duck that was walking around. And the guy, the handler of the capybara just insisted on putting the duck on the capybara's back. And the capybara didn't seem to care all that much.
Was the duck paying?
I don't know who enjoyed it more, the duck or the capybara.
The duck's getting a free ride.
Yeah, but like it wasn't going
anywhere.
The
capybara's got a friend.
But I think the duck was just sitting on the capybara and it didn't know what to do. And
do you reckon a duck got a cut of the buddy? The
capybara got what, a duck cut?
Duck what? Cut? Imagine that moment for an animal where it goes, this would never happen to me in the wild. This is so foreign to me that I don't know how to feel.
Are they wanting to do it as well? Like, is the duck looking up at the capybara going, oh, that's a big rodent, world giant rodent. Oh, geez, that'd be good.
That's
it?
Evolution.
That's the first type of ride. That's a natural. That's the first natural ride.
That's a
natural theme park.
Without the Christian theme park, yeah. We've got capybara hydraulics with a hydraulic duck that comes out.
Before we get started, guys, let's get
hang
into
on,
this
hang
episode.
Hang on,
who gives a
shit? I want to know, was there anything that stood out for you?
Just quickly, did a nice little few weeks, about 6 weeks in Europe. Went to this massive cave in Slovenia, the Skopje cave, huge. And the funniest thing was like very clear, like don't touch anything. This stuff is hundreds of thousands. These formations take so long. Do not touch anything.
Oh, you can
disturb it. Straight away, this guy in front of us like a hand on the thing.
Unbelievable.
And it's just like, what can you do?
Unbelievable.
What can you do? We were just like, unbelievable.
Did you tell him? Did you consider
just
telling him off?
But we're just like, it's so weird.
Well, it's because he's been told not to, right?
It's so weird.
That's the compulsion. Yeah. It's like, well, this must feel old.
I don't know.
Christian, remind me how we usually start these episodes.
I was going to say, before we get started.
Oh.
So since I've been back, which has only been a very short period of time, I've celebrated a birthday and I wanted to bring my new casual world aware, well-traveled personality, this new person that I am into the fold, and I wanted to have a very casual birthday. So I sent a message out to you guys.
Whilst you're in linen. And
I sent a group message out to a few different people and just said, hey, and it was very casual, too casual. It was, hey, gonna have some birthday drinks. Come on if you like. It's on this date. And I thought that'd be great.
Said starts from in that message.
Did I?
Yeah, I think it was starts from, so, or maybe
no,
it was
I think it's
at
me some time.
Oh, okay.
So this is the problem, right? Started really vague and everyone was like, cool, sounds good. And then I realized as it got closer to the date that I'm not casual.
Mm.
And I desperately needed to know who was coming and who.
Yeah, no, I was just surprised that that's one of your top priorities.
Well, who, so I could get numbers.
The catering thing. For
catering.
You.
Yeah. Because this host.
Catering. Just so easy and free going. Catering.
Yeah. Because I had to make a platter. And it's
so
just,
you're not that much of a new guy
at all.
Had to make a plan. Sounds like the old Christian to me.
But I realized in that moment that I'm exactly the same and cannot organize something casually.
Yeah.
How are you both when organizing an event? Because even up to the moment of people arriving, because I eventually said from four, and you know, if you say from four and you tell people come whenever, they'll come whenever.
Yeah.
But at four, I started getting anxious. Well, what if the first person and the second person, they're from different groups, and what if they don't get along?
Well, the from instruction's an interesting one, because if you hear something's on from four, what's the latest that you would go to that event? From four?
I'd say you'd have to get in touch if you're more than 2 hours.
2 hours is heaps. That's probably right. What do you think? It's probably. I think if you're over like 45 minutes, it's kind of
no.
Like,
a from is way wider.
Yeah. So
really?
Dion, you got really anxious because you were like, "I'm going to be late." You made up this enormous excuse.
I was quite late, wasn't I?
But you weren't.
Oh.
You weren't late at all because it was a from invite.
Oh, maybe I missed the from.
No, because it was a from four, and you got there at what, five?
From I got there from five, yeah.
Yeah.
My question for you, Christian, in terms of did you have, because I find with an event like that, you normally have your little core. And you're like, well, I'm going to have my core who I know are going to come here early, quote unquote. So what, did you have your core sorted or is just you?
Well, I messaged you guys.
No, but I'm saying-
And everyone was very casual
about it. Don't make everyone feel like they're part of your core.
No, but you know, normally you might send it at a personal message, like, hey, can you come early and help set up all that kind of thing?
Oh, no,
So you didn't have any, because that's what I'm getting at, that you were anxious because no one's here. I don't have a core to kick things off.
That's true. That's what I was- was missing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that feels too... I was trying not to be that anxious guy who sends a message out being like, hey, can you bring this and do you mind arriving at this time just to get there? Like, help me. I didn't want to be that guy, but I am.
Yeah.
Couldn't avoid it.
Do you think it's incumbent on good friends to be there at four? Your good core friends.
Yes.
I feel like they need to be, especially if you're meeting at a restaurant, that your good friends, because you know, on your birthday, you don't want to be hanging around on your own for half an hour.
For me, the good core friends would be excited enough to spend time with their core friends.
But that's not the world we live in. That's
it's not the
world.
It is. And I learned that on my birthday all days.
But I think also a house invite is very different
it is,
to an external venue. So this was at a house invite. Yes, so I think that implants in people's heads. No rush, no big deal. Very comfortable surrounds. They're not burning money at the bar or anything like that.
Out of interest, Christian, did people bring prezzies?
Weirdly, yes.
Oh, interesting.
And I think I must give off give me presents vibes.
You like a present. You're very appreciative of a present.
That's the problem. I'm too appreciative,
but don't want the present.
I still don't believe it. That's so... I still don't believe it when you say it.
That I don't want a present.
Yeah. Do you think Christian wants presents?
No, I think he's real.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
But you like getting a thoughtful gift.
You don't even want a thoughtful present.
Everyone is happy to get the gift, but he is very happy that no gifts means no gifts.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked
about
that.
Which is the flip, isn't it? From when I had a position in patch, what, 9? No gifts means no gifts.
You've changed.
I'm a different person.
No. There's no way you've evolved. That's since South America, not since patch 9.
Yeah. But what about you? Are you a casual organizer?
I guess I do like to have that core, I think. But yeah, it makes me think, Christian, we got together and we booked a bunch of comedy festival tickets. Us two. We locked in a bunch of times, bunch of tickets. We were like, if anyone else wants to come along, then that's great. So I feel like that's almost like the equivalent
for me.
That's
the core, isn't it?
The core is just, I've got you there. It'll be great. Everyone else.
Well, because my view as a sort of extension of the core idea is you've just got to work out what you're happy with and be like, well, so-and-so's here, so-and-so here's great. If this is all it stays at, I'm having a real good time.
Are you genuine about that as well? Because I think I would be.
Because anytime I've had parties and stuff and all these people like mess, oh my God, so sorry I couldn't make it. I was like, I don't care. I didn't realize you weren't there.
Because
I'm just focused on who's here and having a good time with the people who are.
But do you want to know in advance whether they're coming?
There's a very limited amount. There's maybe like 4 or 5 people, honestly.
But you want to know they're coming.
The small core of like 4 or 5,
What was missing. I had no idea who was coming, so it was a mystery box of what the day would look like.
Yeah, right.
It ended up being a glorious day.
You know what? I think with the core, though, you'd expect them to message if they can't make it, but you'd presume they can. So you should have presumed that we were all obviously going to be there.
That's a fantastic point.
That was a thing. Do you remember there was a point when we were growing up that invitations, they always used to say RSVP, but then it changed to regrets only? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Be honest with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
What year was it?
1997.
It would have been 97, 98. What the hell was that? What was that turning point?
Maybe it's just making people committing to not going there. That was the more important thing.
But hang on. Back then, people were so confident that you'd turn up that they only wanted to know about regrets.
No, but you don't need to know if that was someone who's like, I don't need to know whether people are coming.
But what a confident move that is to go, I'm putting something on. Just let me know if you can't make it. I'm assuming that most people can.
That's true.
It's a beautiful shift. I should have written that in the message.
Regrets only.
Just let me know if you can't make it.
Yeah.
Because then by default, I assume everyone's coming.
Will you do that next time?
Absolutely.
I'll do it. On my birthday's in April, I'll do it.
Ah, that's fantastic. Well done.
Won't see you there. I was at the pub the other day and there was this gentleman who's wearing a particularly loud shirt.
Oh.
And I wanted to get the attention of my girlfriend and sort of let her know, hey, have a look at that guy, without obviously being too obvious.
Surely she would have heard it.
Excellent.
Thank you.
And I realized like my default go-to is always the time clock because you don't want to point people. The only thing I might point is like a very much a...
What? The time clock. Sorry, just explain to the listeners.
You're 6 o'clock, you're 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I've got no idea what that is. Yeah. It's like north, south, east, west, no idea.
If someone gives you the clock, if I was to say right now, Dion, Josh is at... Oh, no, I wouldn't say Josh.
Yep.
I'd say they're at your 6 o'clock.
Where the hell is the clock
behind
pointing?
You? The clock. You're in the middle
you
of the clock.
You are the clock.
You're in the middle.
You're the clock.
Very straightforward.
So I'm the clock and Josh is at mine.
And work clock weight. clockwise.
Dion, I'm at your 2 o'clock.
Just also go easy on me. We're just starting up. We're just starting up. So far, I have no idea what you're talking about. So say it, and I'll try and tell you what it
Dion,
is.
I am at your 2 o'clock.
You're at my 2.
Christian is at your 12 o'clock.
Yep.
Are you telling me? You're asking
I'm
me.
I'm telling you.
You're at my 2 o'clock. Yeah, that makes sense.
Great. So where's 6 o'clock?
Yeah, and where's the little hand that's going?
How many minutes? Anyway, so that's like my general strategy because you can say it quite verbally. There's no indication at all.
Yeah, easy to get across.
And then, to most people. But the key point of it, how is your game plan, if you're the person receiving that, to look at the person of interest, the POI, if you will.
Well, I'd be looking down at my watch first.
He's got a digital watch as well.
So they get any sense.
It's interesting that you go immediately to the other person. Josh, there's a lot of considerations in you delivering that message, though. Okay. The 6 o'clock, are you not worried for the immediate look? That you say
them to
at your
off.
6 o'clock, but you are
you,
in.
But you have to don't look.
No. You say that in a mocking tone.
Yeah, I do.
No, but you are in charge of the context. They don't know what's behind them. If
That's
you say
true.
At your 6 o'clock, they turn around and get punched. So
don't just say that.
Imagine that. There's just a fist waiting behind.
So wait, Christian, what are you?
Fist, 6 o'clock.
Fist.
So, Christian, so it sounds like you're suggesting something different. Josh is suggesting at the start the position of a person, whereas
Christian's making up some story like that's all I say.
No,
3 o'clock.
No. Josh is suggesting the position.
Iceberg,
Christian,
3 o'clock.
Where? No, my 2 o'clock.
I think Christian is more suggesting the subject matter maybe needs to come first or something preliminary.
Yes.
Like,
well, sure. You've got a set. You have. There's a lot of.
Oh, well, let's do it. Why don't we just do it now? Christian, I'm trying to get your attention.
You're trying to get my attention.
I'm going to try and get your attention because there's the guy with the loud shirt over there.
Okay.
So
we're having a conversation.
Yeah. So you're trying.
So I went to Peru.
Yep.
Argentina. Colombia.
Christian, just pause for a second. There's a guy with a loud shirt and a speaker on it. Just wait a second. Turn around. You're good. You can see him. Got it. Flawless. Seamless.
Wait a second.
That was good, wasn't it?
Wait a second. I thought it was actually very good. You waited the timing quite well.
Yeah, lowered my voice.
You were like a cricketer. Waiting!
But the momentary, okay, and now you're good, I think that's flawed. Because
I'm guiding you through it. You're blind.
No, but what happens in the time it takes for me to turn my head to look, I'm no longer good. What happens then?
So I need to talk you through it a little bit more then?
Well, I think there needs to be there's an orchestration that's needed where you're either pointing towards something.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think that's up to you in this instance. It's up to you, Christian. What is your game plan?
As the recipient.
As to disguise your movements and cover yourself.
Well, do you want to do it live?
This is the problem, right, is as the recipient, I don't know whether there's an urgency. So...
It depends on the voice. The voice, you'd go, Christian.
And I go, quick look. And then I look and the person's looking back at me. They punch me in the face.
Have you ever, I feel like getting caught out by that person is what you're trying to avoid, right?
Absolutely.
Imagine both of you are caught out as well.
That's the ultimate.
I will put on our socials, I literally have a photo of us getting caught out.
Amazing.
We're on a ferry. And this woman, I had never seen them before. And now I'm like, I feel really bad. They're these particular goggles, like glasses you wear that have like liquid in them to help do your balance so you don't get seasick.
What?
So like in your vision, you can sort of see the level of the water that's floating in these rims.
What? Is that why Dame Edna wears those?
Anyway, and I thought, they're silly looking glasses. And so we're like, oh, we'll just pretend to take a selfie of ourselves with the rest of the boat in the background. So we took one. It was blurry. We took a second one.
So good.
And in the second photo, she was staring right at the camera.
That's so good.
And we're like, oh my God.
Is it very obvious?
It's so fun. It's so obvious.
How did you know about those glasses?
Well, we looked at afterwards and we're like, oh, it's like a therapeutic thing. We feel like arseholes now.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Does that mean you can wear them in the car and just have little cars at the bottom of your glasses?
So you're
Ashfelt at the bottom. Yeah.
So you're saying had it not been for therapeutic purposes, you wouldn't have been arseholes for taking
I would
photo.
Have been happy to mock that person,
for having loud glasses.
Yeah, if they were wearing I thought that's a silly look.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Anyway, so back to the point of if you're going to look at someone, I'll tell you my strat. So generally, if I get told there's a person there and there's no time on it, I'm like, okay, I've got time to do this. I will do a casual look around. But the key is you look further further than the target. So I'm turning around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
you
I like
look
this.
Past
I like
the target.
Yeah.
And you catch them on the look. You look around to the right. You hover for maybe a second.
Yep.
And then you bring it home.
So, but what's the person who's instructed you to look doing at this point?
That's a good question. I'm
They're
not
in the distance.
In that.
Because I think this is, you know, paranoid mind. If I'm looking at a table and then I see one guy kind of start, you know, rolling his head around and then he mm-hmm. clocks me mm-hmm. really intently
You're
and
stuffed.
Then keeps looking,
yeah.
I know what's on. Nah. And now imagine the person
but
sitting...
But it's about disguising it then. It's that look. If you catch the eyes, it's about disguising that look that's like, I just happened to catch that eye as I looked around the room.
Can I propose... the intense stare just over that person's shoulder as if you're looking into space.
I think that's madness.
Yes.
I think that's,
yes.
I,
no, so you stare that, evil right in the face.
That was out. That was also out in 97. No, but you can't do that. It's too obvious.
It's Russian roulette. There's a huge payoff, but you could.
You know, there's
you're
little,
going for it.
You know,
yeah.
there's little things in life where you're like, why don't they teach that at school? Perfect. This could have been a,
how
could have been
how
a couple of how to subtly look at
well,
someone.
What's your strat, Dion? What are you doing? What are you employing?
My strat is just maybe a little. We haven't talked about any sort of physicality, but if I can reach Christian or Josh with my little foot and give you a little bit of a love tap, and then it's probably guiding you over there with my chin.
Yeah, yeah. And then if you're
chin
receiving
guide.
That,
yep.
how are you making the look?
Just
how
stay
are you disguising
it's
it.
Just to stay calm initially. You just stay calm. Very calm, and then. Yeah, I think I do more. It would be like getting up off my seat and like looking like
interesting.
Yeah,
can I give you a call out?
Absolutely.
So we're having a conversation.
Yep.
Chat to me, babe.
Well, Christian, I just don't know if we should be here right now because it's
Dino. Just don't look now.
Okay.
Whenever you've got some time.
Okay, I'll handle this perfectly. Go on.
There is a guy behind you in a very loud shirt
yep.
with a full orchestra behind him.
Okay, let me just turn it up.
In your own time, I'm going to chat to Josh now.
Yep.
Take your time.
Okay. Well, for those on YouTube, you'll be able to see what I do. So I'm going to get
Dion's
up.
Dion's getting up out of his chair, adjusting his chair, looking...
Oh, that is fantastic.
So he's on his
I love
toes,
that.
Like he's looking over to the very
yes.
back of the
so
room,
you're,
right over the back.
So you're... It's so... He's very smug.
Well,
this is the smuggest you've been,
well,
I reckon.
Not since I boarded the plane late.
But Dion was pretending to look for someone in the distance.
Miles away.
Oh, he's coming.
Past the
Where
pub.
Is he? I thought he said that he was... Yeah.
I think the big overt, I think we're kind of settled on at least the big overt action
yep.
is better than trying to get away with it by like just a little quick glance over your shoulder. We've agreed on that.
Out of interest, if we do.
Can we still do them?
Yeah, we can. out of interest, if you are talking at that table and you're talking about that person, are you conscious of, how conscious are you of the volume of your voice? Because I feel like a lot of people think that other people can hear you and other people are listening.
I'm with you.
Oh, really?
I'm with you. People think that others have superhuman hearing.
It's like, and I always get told to shush a lot. It's like, shh, they'll hear. It's like, no, they won't. There's no way they're listening.
I think they're more perceptive. People are more perceptive to a change in volume from another table rather than us continuing. Because if I was to say, hey, Dion, have a look at that person
yeah,
over there at the exact same tempo mm-hmm. and volume, mm-hmm.
I'm
not picking
up anything. I think the key, if that's going on, I will talk at a normal volume of things that do not give away the game. But if there's a pertinent thing that is like, just behind you, say that. You go, just behind you, there's a guy with a thing. It's like, you've got to pick the words that you've got to drop in volume. Otherwise, if there's nothing that gives away the game, you can talk that normal. And that's more normal. And I think that covers it better.
Yep.
If you're wearing a loud shirt... Yep. Do you think you are listening out for loud shirt more?
I think if you had...
Wait, you understand that question?
Yeah, absolutely. Could you... Yeah, if you were out, whatever you're wearing, whatever you look like, are there words that your ears would burn to?
Bald.
Yeah.
Wait.
Oh. Would you hear it more often in a group on the other side of the room or the other table?
Like you personally sensitive to?
I think that's about me.
What is something that you're most insecure about, dear?
What am I most insecure about? It would be, if I don't have my belt too tight and my pants are too low.
You're kidding.
Okay.
Your
Maybe.
Pants
no, but
too low.
No, that's not a thing. The
so
first, thing
that
came
that
to,
someone...
first thing that came to mind was that I'm a
Wait.
Jew.
Oh, no.
Your ears prick up on that.
Wait a second. So you're worried that someone would go, hey, look at how low that Jew's pants are.
My God. Oh, God.
right, we're about halfway through the show now, so I thought it might be a good idea to do a bit of a sound check. The topic for today's sound check is Arnott's biscuits. Dion, do you want to give us a little, little sound check?
No problem. The butternut snap cookie was a favourite amongst bookies. The butternut snap cookie was a favourite amongst bookies. Christian, could you test your mic, please?
Thanks, Dino. The mint slice didn't need to be told twice. The mint slice didn't need to be told twice. And Josh, you're Michael.
I'll just take mine. Attention. Please don't linger with a scotch finger. Attention. Please don't linger with a scotch finger.
Christian, I wanted to ask you, we were talking about the holiday you didn't want to talk about earlier.
Yeah, great. Thanks for bringing it up.
Before.
Argentina.
Peru. Yeah. Machu Picchu.
Yeah.
You went to Christian Museum. And I recently was on a holiday and I was very conscious of trying to be a little bit controlled about the number of photos I was taking.
Ooh.
And it got a little bit out of control because you just never really look back at them, do you? You look at
quick,
it, you look at about 20 of them. Yes.
Phone or snap?
Phone. And you used to take like a point and shoot and used to really enjoy that experience, like a DSLR. But now I'm like, I can't be fucked.
Cool. Just phone, go on.
No problem. And then, so I was taking a lot of photos of my trip and I was like, oh God, this is just
getting... Do you know how many?
Yeah, I do. And I counted them up before.
How long was this trip?
It was 14 days.
Oh,
2 weeks.
And
Two weeks.
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
I averaged per day 79 photos a day.
Oh my God.
Took 1,100 photos. And I converted that to what that would be if I was getting films developed. It'd be 49 films developed.
Unbelievable.
$10 each.
Right.
Upwards of $500.
You're not taking a photo of the information desk that's a train carriage, right?
Yes.
If you've got a film camera.
No, exactly. And that was one of the photos I showed you before that I took. But then I had a look and it's like there were duplicates as well. So
some maps of the trails. Yeah,
exactly. So I reckon probably about 400, 14-day trip. Seems a lot. Seems very haphazard. Did you go... I mean, let's build up, Josh. Yeah, so that was a two-week trip. Josh, you rated 6 weeks.
So you had 14 days. How many photos?
1,100.
For... the average
at
of
79 a day.
79 a day. So I was away for 45 days.
Yes.
Took just over 2,100 for a total of 48 photos a
day. Ooh.
Yeah, so
interesting.
Okay, 2,100. That makes sense. Well, I was...
48 photos a day seems crazy.
80 is nuts.
Well, I think the thing is that if you're seeing some beautiful stuff, I would, like, as you're on that walk or in that area, you don't take a single photo of the beautiful thing anymore.
You never know when
because take angle. You take multiple angles to make sure you get the best photo of the beautiful thing.
Is that
thing.
The aim?
Yeah.
Or is it the journey? Like if you go on a hike, are you wanting to map out the hike in photos?
Well,
or is the aim just to get the best photo?
This is why you'll hear that over 183 days,
Jesus.
I took 6,960 photos.
That's not that many.
Which is 38 photos a day.
That seems reasonable. What the hell was
but
I doing?
I would say that the great majority of them are photos taken along hikes.
Yeah, of beautiful things.
Well,
of
that
beautiful
things. That does sound boring.
I'm shocked you took over 1,000 photos on a two-week trip.
I know, that's not great,
That's so much.
I think I'll audit them.
But to your question about what are you trying to capture, I think sometimes I'll do like a single photo of like capture a mood, capture a moment.
Oh, yeah.
To be like, you're not going to get the perfect shot of this. Just grab one so you remember that place. Because often that's the memory of the trip. We went to this place. We ate at this place. We went here. We went here.
I just realized... I didn't just realize.
That you miscalculated and you took 14,000?
No. But it's funny that... You're taking these photos on the hikes and every single photo you take, someone else has taken that identical photo. I need some kind of system. I need Google Photos to give me an alert to say...
This hasn't been done.
This hasn't been done or 26 million people have taken a photo of this thing.
You piece of shit.
Yeah.
And here, put it down. Enjoy the view.
And here is a professional photo of the moment we'll save to your camera.
Well, that's the thing, right?
Like, that's pretty good.
In the absence of you being in the photo, which obviously makes sense.
Yes.
If you're just taking purely a...
Yep.
landscape shot, for instance, I think there's something in knowing, and I've got a few of these
shots. Yeah, what's the personal connection?
So I think it's when you get a shot that's really great, you're like, oh, wow, I took that.
But you didn't take that.
No, I did.
No, you didn't.
It's on auto on a phone that's using computational photography.
I put those bits together.
No, you didn't, shit.
You're making out like I have to paint it myself.
No, you held the phone and you pressed a button.
Your telephone.
That's ridiculous.
You held it out towards something beautiful and pressed a button.
No, I'm talking about like a really nice, and like you touch it up a bit afterwards. Like the ones from Egypt I've got on my wall.
Are you touching them up?
Yeah, I am. No, but like that's what I was mainly doing on this trip. I was like, I was just taking wide one and being like, well, I don't need to frame it up perfectly because it's just my phone.
Yeah.
Like with the DSLR, you can actually frame it up and do a bit nicer. With the phone, I'm like, just do it in post. Zoom in a bit.
Have you done it in post?
For the Greek part of the trip I did. The rest I just have not bothered. But like that's an enjoyable thing of when you finish up with that photo at the end and you do a little bit of work to it and you're like, great, I'm going to print that and put that on my wall.
I agree. You can take – there's these interesting photos you take where you're like, it's very personal to me because I was there. It reminds me of something. Then you do a little editing and it becomes even more personal.
Yeah.
But there were these moments on the hikes, the multi-day hikes that we did with other people where they didn't bring their phone or they had a worse phone and they were like, hey, can you take photos of me for the trip?
That's annoying.
And now I have in my camera roll someone else's photos, memories that I never ended up sending to them.
Oh, that's strange.
Very strange.
That's weird for them to ask you to do that.
Well, it happened. She had her phone. Maybe she had her phone stolen at one point. Anyway.
Perfect.
But let's pretend I didn't say that.
What a loser.
But it's just weird because I would stand in front of the view and then we'd swap spots and she'd stand in front. But
if you go into your contacts, it's got all of her contacts in the phone as well.
It's just a weird thing to take the identical photo and the subjects are just different. Like, how many of this exact photo exists everywhere? Because surely everyone doing that hike is doing the exact same photo. And
particularly, is it more weird with AI now? You can just do everything, can't you? You can just sub yourself into anything. Like, who gives a shit about anything?
But I essentially saying nothing's real.
Nothing's real.
But then, right, like, your idea, if you grab like the best photo you can find online and put that into your camera roll, so then when you're showing your friends, go, this is this place. Like, that's a weird outcome though, isn't it? To be like, oh, here's some photos of the place that I didn't take, but they're objectively the better photo.
I think it's weirder thinking that you're a professional photographer with this Pixel 6.
I'm not suggesting I'm a professional.
No, but that's that. I'm saying
I get enjoyment when I frame up a shot. I'm like, that looks sick. That's quite remarkable. I'm not a professional.
Do you get more enjoyment if you take a good photo of another person or a landscape shot?
That's a fantastic question. Another person.
Another person, particularly if they don't think that they're photogenic as well.
Candid shot.
They don't think that. How good is a candid shot?
You know what was amazing while we were away? This one woman, this Australian woman, did. Even I, my partner, we were sitting on the edge of a boat, going around, and she just took a snap and then showed us like, "That's pretty great, isn't it? I'll airdrop it to you." So she would routinely just take photos of other people.
That's crazy good.
Then when you didn't know that was happening, and she's like, "That's a really nice photo. Do you guys want it?" And like,
it's such a romantic thing, isn't it? It's like I'm seeing a beautiful you. I'm seeing.
I didn't say that, but.
Well, she should have.
Do you think there'll ever be like a service in the world in cities where they've got, I mean, it's in China where they've got a lot of cameras, but more that you can get photos of your day and like,
I would love CCTV. My ideal tech that I want to exist in the future is
surveillance.
Is a hyper surveillance state.
And we'll call it Beijing.
I want a social credit score.
You're going to hate this then. I want a red flag. I would like every photo that I've taken for Google to cross-reference with other people's libraries to say, well, this person was there on the day and here you are in the background of their photo.
We're not far off.
And so you could see yourself in other people's photos from days.
I had an amazing thought. I think that would be amazing. Yeah,
that's weird though.
Is it?
Yeah, it's weird because it's like just these other random photos. It's just something really weird about it.
It's kind of small world global connection type thing.
Here's a question.
How we just became Usher for a second.
How comfortable are you guys asking someone to take a photo of you? How often were you doing that?
I mean, you have to like first do an appraisal if they're going to know how to take a photo. I did that in Taiwan of a lady, probably like a 70-year-old lady that was at a bar in this really weird area. And I got her to take a photo just because I knew it would be bad. And she made me look like I'd shat my pants. It's amazing. The angle and everything, it looks like it's amazing.
I can't wait to see this photo.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really funny.
There was a lady that approached us. We were doing a hike and she said, "Can you take a photo of me?"
And you shat your pants.
Quick, get this.
Now to the front of me.
She wanted a photo of her and her partner, and I took a cut. Like I took a few. I consider myself to be an okay taker of photos for couples, yeah. Right?
Just and for then, couples.
And then solos, I can't. It looks like they're taking a shit in their pants. But I was taking a photo, and then I gave her the phone back. She looked through it and she's like, "Nah, do them again.
What?
But do this."
Yeah. What?
And get it
and
right.
And she was like, "Do this little bit of," she was quite aggressive, which scared me, but she was like, "Zoom out a little bit like this, frame us like that." She showed me some other photos. I was like, "Okay."
Oh.
But I took the photo and was like, "That is a fantastic photo." And then for the rest of the trip, my partner and I more or less implemented the strategy that she had taught us.
One of the strategies, I learned this overseas, one of the strategies is to go a little bit lower. Don't
capturing what part of the body, Dion?
No, just...
I love that that's the strategy you learned.
No.
Hey, Dion, just a bit lower.
You lower your camera just to your chest.
Yeah.
And then you sort of take it like that and it makes you look a bit taller and it's a nice angle. You get a bit more sky.
Wow.
Bit more poo.
No, the main one was the slight zoom out to capture more of the environment and keep the...
You crop that though. Well, Josh can do it for her in post.
Yeah. It's so strange.
Yeah, she was aggressive.
I think that is crazy that you're asking someone to do you a favor of taking a photo and you want to critique their work.
But
yeah.
For them...
get what you get
no,
at that point.
No, because for her, she's like, "I want this memory the way that I want it to look."
Then maybe she should have given that instruction.
She'll never see me again.
Then pay a photo Sherpa.
That is quite the idea, Josh.
Adobe Photo Sherpa.
Photo Sherpa.
The QR in QR code stands for quick response, but a better name would be SL, as that would more clearly stand for scan links.
The best way to tell if a food is unhealthy is if the flavors are colors. Arctic white, blizzard blue.
Why doesn't anything other than land come in swathes?
Thank you so much for welcoming us back like you have. It's been lovely seeing you both.
It's been so nice to be back in the room.
It's been very good to be back in the room.
But it's not like we've been in hibernation. We have been talking over the last 7 months, but it's great to get back in the studio, isn't it, John?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's also great to get back into theatre and venues, isn't it, Josh?
It is. Back into the live theatre. If you got keen for a comedy fest show, Game Boys, we're back April 8th. Escape to the Megaverse opens. It's our Green Room award-winning show. And very exciting as well. Just another side note, Eden, my brother who I work with in Game Boys, he's on Australian Survivor at the moment, which has been really cool
to
see that.
Very cool.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool.
But yeah, you can grab your tickets on the Comedy Fest website for Escape to the Megaverse, April 8th.
Christian, do you have any news, any shows coming up?
No, I'm just very happy to be back. I was a bit worried about how much we're going to talk about the trip. So yep. I think the first maybe 5-10 minutes of the episode sucks. And after that, less...
Such a weird attitude.
Yeah, less
it's
trip,
all good. It's great.
Less trip related. No, mainly because of the holiday stuff.
Yeah, but I'm saying everyone's fine with it.
Well, Christian, at least you're not taking like 80 photos a day.
Yeah, that's hell.
It's disgraceful. Look, as we do every week from now, we haven't done it every week, but as we do every week, we sew a new patch into our quilt of friendship. Josh, what patch did you sew into our quilt this week?
Thank you, Dion. My patch this week is the three of us attending the World's Loudest Shirt competition and having absolutely no idea where to look.
Oh, that's much better than mine.
Christian, what patch did you sew this week?
Thank you, Josh. This week I sewed into my patch me pointing out to you that Dion's pants were too low and that he'd shit himself. And Dion, what patch did you sew into your quilt this week?
My patch this week is me deciding that if I'm going to take so many photos every day whilst overseas, I may as well just buy myself an Apple Vision Pro for $6,000, wear it all the time, and then kill myself.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much for listening to Welcome to Patchwork for another week. I've been Dion.
I've been Josh.
And I've been Christian.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
See ya. This podcast was self-produced by Welcome to Patchwork and edited by Josh Porter. The theme song and additional original music was composed by Christian Pissasali.
It's ridiculous. Great.
That's it. Moving on, Christian, you're up.
We should do hot takes.